Mr. Mann, Real 16. You're talking about your leave in Cairo. What did the British soldier get up to?
Oh, Cairo, well, of course it was an interesting place. We hadn't been there before. We were put into accommodations. If you ask me now what we had to eat there, I couldn't honestly say. But we would obviously get a breakfast and then out into Cairo itself. Without spending money, piastres and that, a bit of which was a queue related as well. At the time we were in action, of course, you didn't need money then, and it's a queue related, so you could have a bit of a booze up town, as it were. You would go in and lunchtime get into one of the cafes, which run more across the restaurants there, and you would have egg and chips for a meal. And they wander around looking at the bazaars and that, and you'd be pestered by the boot black boys wanting to polish your boots. The two or three come round you. You have to watch your pockets and everything because there'd be others reaching round, and it's really got you used to take your webbing belt off and of course I'll lash it out with that to clear them off. But it weren't areas to wander about on your own, Lord, a few of you. I know one that caught him, Berry, and we just wanted about four or five of us, and it was only boys, they weren't really men, they were pestering around us and came up, and one of them had actually got his hand into Berry's pocket and got all his money, taken it away. So we'd given him a bit of a lash, and anyhow they cleared off his lads, so. Well, what could you do? There's no money anyway. Someone suggested, oh, just report it to the police. Oh, it was funny, we all went into this police station there, reported, but you got no change out of them. But I never did recover it in money, and we just kept him on his leave.
Were they trying to sell you women as well as...
Experiences in there. I think one was called the Globe in Cairo. And all those young women there, they could expose themselves as well. So, coloured women used to say, just like white woman, red inside. And, but they were risky. I mean, I can honestly tell you, I never went with any of them. I wouldn't take a risk because. If you did get one of these diseases, one thing that was it, you got that. Also, you lost what they call proficiency pay. Your pay was reduced because you hadn't taken care of yourself. But in the night traverse, they would go on. I mean, it was nothing like to see somebody with a glass of beer or something, and if the woman was stood. Opposite side, rocking her back on a chair, like trying to entice someone, and woof, they just throw this glass of beer at her. That would give her a bit of a drenching in a certain spot. And then it would come out there was Australian troops, a few South African troops as well, it was mixed. But as with lots of places, even now and then today, you'd always get someone who would start being a bit aggressive. Pile up with drink, and not only beer, you used to get zibid, which was a spirited drink, and the zibid used to take over if you got too much of it, and then fights would start. There's tables, chairs, and on this stage, and on the right corner, there's a big heavy curtain used to come down when the fight started. And that would go on until next thing you heard was the whistles blowing and all that, and there was military police, so there was a scattering to get out of the place. The place was broken. And you could go back another night, and all these broken chairs and tables were all nailed together. And of course, there was repetition of it. Not with them days, but I think as well, a lot of it would start. It sort of relieved your tension, or what you'd been through. It was just a party. It was just a party. Yes, someone had to get injured as well, like, but would we find that a complaint was put into the camp, and that camp commandant, and some of them, and then of course they would put Cairo out of bounds for a few days. If we're actually, I'm getting across to me here, because those incidents more or less happened when we got transferred from Castleton to Beni Yusuf, which was a walking distance out of Cairo. And then we used to be confined to barracks for a few days in this Beni Yusuf. But the lead itself, that did happen as well. You could go into the bazaars and you could place an order for a bottle of perfume, a small bottle of perfume. They used to be like leather handbags and that, or out of camel skins and that. You could order that and send them back home. You know, or if somebody was a handbag, 10%. But the perfume's there again, you have to be careful, because they could give you a sample of a perfume, and then when they give you the bottle of it, if you took it away with it, or to send it home yourself, you know, if it's something that you get open and you find out it was just coloured water and it wasn't a perfume. So that was some of them, but I was like that. Then I went into the Cairo Museum. I was interested in the artifacts there from what we found from the Egyptians.
What was the general opinion that you held of the Egyptians?
I didn't really like them. They were all out for what they could get. I mean, after this leave and that, I went back to Castleton, and then we moved up to this Beni Yusuf. And there we were under canvas, tents and about 8 men to a tent, and there was marking. The Arabs would come down, and you know, if there was a watch on the wall, nailed to the wall, they would take the watch and take the nail as well. But in the camp, I know one night some Egyptians had been into it, the wogs as we used to refer to them once, and they actually got away with a tent without disturbing the men sleeping inside. And they got away with it. The sentries, the pickets wondering about the camp, they hadn't noticed them either. And they actually got away with an 8-man tent. Won't disturb anybody. They used to see the Egyptian, there was a police like camel corps, remember a bunch of them dashed across the desert at one time. This Beni Yusuf was situated, I should think, within about 2 miles of the pyramids and the Sphinx. And to go from the camp to Cairo, you would walk past the pyramids and then onto the main road, Mina, I think they call it. This road went straight down into Cairo. But after a night's out, you can get what they call a galley, and that was a horse-drawn carriage, like an open one. And we all seat about 16, with 6 feet, about 3 at the front facing one another. There used to be some happy time with them, because once you got to the outskirts of Cairo, there would be these guys, and there'd be a bunch of you get on, and maybe 2 or 3 guys in one, and then get so far up the road and stop, and that's as far as the driver went. They were put off. The troops took over, and then our race up the road towards the pyramid with the guys. When you got there, turn around with them and send them back. That didn't happen every night, of course, but it did happen.
What were you doing at Beni Yusuf?
Well, Beni Yusuf, that was the remnants of the oxen books, less than 100, right at Beni Yusuf. And we were made up to strength with reinforcements from the Royal Artillery. So it was Royal Artillerymen coming into light infantry, which was a chalk and cheese situation, really. Because they weren't trained with infantrymen. So we made up to strength with them, and then did exercises on the sand, the desert behind us. We used to go up then, mob attacks and that, group marches.
How did they settle these artillerymen into the infantry?
Well,
did they give you trouble?
No, they didn't give us trouble. They actually saw some of them. We got on quite well. Well, quite well with all of them, really. But I don't think they were happy about being transferred to an infantry unit. Because Royal Artillery, we used to refer to at one time as long range snipers. But then again, they were transferred to the infantry, and there was just this training going on. And at the camp, but we didn't really know what we were in store for after that. Just crossing my mind about cooks, I remember once when the cook was on Perry, they called him. He says, oh, I said, you're all right today, lad. He says, I'll make you a plum duff pudding. So when it came back to meal time, he got this plum pudding out. And what it done, it used a pair of blue gym shorts to put the dough in and that, to put in boiling pot, tied the bottom of the legs up and on the way. When he took it out, it was a blue plum duff pudding. And you know, we all had a piece, we ate it. That was just a passing thought of the cook there. They only did it once, I remember. Sorry.
Did they become quite efficient or proficient infantrymen?
Well, from Benny Youssef, we eventually ended up back at Port Said. And then we put on the boats, and we thought, what are we going home? We didn't know where we were going. We just normal routine training we had up there, and refreshing there, back to sea.
And the artillerymen had become quite useful.
They were infantrymen then. But, you know, I think, because even a marching rate, you have to get used to the quicker marching style. And on the boat, we said we didn't know where we were going, but we ended up back in Italy.
What date would this be?
I think we must have been away about 2 months, I think, in all. Getting on roughly 2 months.
About what? 1944.
We ended up back in Italy. The rain for the artillery and officers, of course, which there was only, I think, 4 or 5 officers in the battalion came out there, and we made up with some South African officers as well.
Who was commanding the battalion to replace Cruddas? Was he still there?
He did come back. He came back to the
battalion. He's still with you?
Yeah. He came back with us.
Were you still with D Company?
D Company, yes. Yes, I came back. I was still with D Company.
And still a corporal?
Yeah. What I'm just trying to reminisce about is when we got back to Italy. It was southern Italy there, and I'm just trying to remember where it was we went back and back into action again, but I just can't place the spot where we went back in action.
Was it in a mountainous area?
Hilly, if not mountainous. Definitely, I can't remember any flat spots. But you know, I'm just a bit numb at the moment. So where I went back to. Can't even remember the name of it. Just the more the name of the place won't strike.
Do you recall what was happening there, although you can't recall the names?
Well, B basically we went back into action, and as the Oxford Bucks, we were in two or three actions. I can't say the places. Rimini was one place, and we took an airfield there because it was a German, a couple of German players or so on that. We took the airfield. But basically, we went to action to a few times there, two or three times, and we had every casualty again. And what was left of the Oxford Bucks was split us up into the Queen's Regiment. That's when I joined the Queen's.
So you,
I'm just a bit blank with this.
Were you at Germano at this time, in this particular period?
Germano, yes. Yes, it could.
No, I know you've mentioned Germano previously, but that was a particularly heavy and nasty action, was it not?
Right. It did get through. The brigade took it.
And that was, again, your actions were mainly what, fighting uphill, but the Germans were always on the tops.
Yes, that's right. It was the high point. But, you know, I'm just going a bit knowing this area in. I can't remember any like specific sort of action after that. I can and with the Queen's as well. So I worked in the Queen's very long, and then pulled out from them.
The Queen's were part of your own brigade, were they?
The brigade, yeah. There was the 2nd, 5th, and the 2nd, 6th Queen's.
Which one were you in?
168th Brigade. It was the 2nd, 6th. That I got transferred to. But, I just can't say, I've just lost there. Benson was one of the Royal Artillery blokes that was with us. He was from the Bishop Auckland area. But I can't. I'm wasting your time.
No, not to worry about it. It may come back later, and we can deal with it then. But essentially, you were back really into the north of Italy by now. The Germans must have pulled well back.
Yes, we're up there.
And you were with the Queen's, you say, just a short period of time.
The Queen's, I think, with the Queen's, I was only in action about a couple of times. I remember the last point of being in action, and that was with the Queen's, was on another river bank, the River Senio. Just before this Senio, we got into a farmhouse before the bank. You can see the bank from the farmhouse. And I was upstairs in this house, and it was sandbagged. The window, which had been put out, sandbagged round, was there with a brand gun. And then from there, we said we'd go down and get into the bank of this dry river. And that was a point where I think I mentioned before that one of the lads had got astride a shell mine and blew his chest in. And then we're in this trench in the river bank. There again, Germans were at the other side of it. And one lad walking about with his tin hat on his rifle and bayonet, putting it up so it was above the top level of the bank, attracting any sniping or firing. In that position, the last orders that we were on was to dig through the bank. It would be about 10 to 12 feet, I would think, roughly the bank where we were. And we were on digging through to come out to the other side of the bank instead of going over the top. But before we actually got dug through it, we were relieved. The Queen's, we came out and we were moved south. Down southern Italy. I don't know why this was, but it was in a place called Benevento. And from this Benevento, the rest period, it came up on orders that it was to be so many personnel transferred to Pie Force, First Jack Forces, and mine was one of the names that was up there.
What date would this be?
It the date, I can't remember, but I know we'd only been in Parchwood. We eventually got up there, we'd only been there about 5 weeks, and I still just east from Italy. That's amazing, I can remember to that.
So it's into, what, April, May, April 45, that kind of time. Pi Force, you say, was Persia-Iraq forces?
Persia-Iraq forces, that was the Royal Sussex Regiment.
Which battalion?
The 2nd Battalion, Royal Sussex Regiment.
What are your memories of that?
Well, after leaving Italy, I was across the port side again, and from there we started to go by train to Persia, and the train, it was wooden seats in, and the seat itself was hinged, and inside you could lay a rifle across two grooves, if you laid to coordinate the rifle, then you sat on your seat, so obviously no one could whip your rifle. And we left there, and we went up through Palestine, then Syria, part of Syria, and Iraq. And going up on this train, you used to get stopped now and then. You had Russians aboard, and you would come to a place where it was only a single track line, just going up, I remember it, to Persia. And going along, eventually you would come to where the line went into a lay-by, more or less. And it was a case of whether the train going to Persia, you will say, or the train coming down, whichever arrived first at this point, had to pull into the lay-by and just wait there till the other train got past it. And eventually, we got to a place called Durud. There was no station or anything there, it was just a stop, and there was a water tank, a big water tank used to water the engines. And up on the more or less mountain side there was white tents, there was a number of that. So we're off the train and then escorted up to these white tents. There were white tents, the tent ropes were all whitewashed. There were stones set round them, they were all whitewashed. There was the flag mast, it was in a circle of white stones, the Union Jack was aloft. And the duties there was alternate day guard duty, pickets, guard duty, one round there. And the main guarded point was the water tower. Which you thought was a waste of time, really. But that was it, this place called Durud. It was in this camp.
Was this in Iraq? Was this in Iraq?
This was actually Persia.
Persia.
And, as I said, more or less guard duties and discipline, polishing equipment, inspections. That's more or less how the days were carried out. But you used to come to about midday and you would get your midday meal, or tiffin as they used to call it. In the afternoon, well, unless you were on duty, you would lounge about in your tent. You used to lay in your tent, but if you had a book, you could read a book. The wasn't a naffy, you could call it, but once a week, they used to be the Russians come with cigarettes and maybe a couple of bottles of beer or something like that, and maybe chocolate, biscuits you could get. And the nearest place to that was on Rough Duty, we could walk to, which was a few muddy huts. And in the muddy huts, there was shells, more or less made of wood, stepped shells, and on there was bottles of vodka, which was Russian vodka. First you may near the Russian border, you could go and buy them. There was one chap there, and the Tubby Wells, they called him, and he had a face, it was purple. And I've even seen him drinking paraffin out of the hurricane lamp. And the usual toilet facilities with a pole across two supports and a bit of canvas material around it. And the occasion that some jokers, you might say jokers before, there was a joker there and saw nearly right through the pole. No matter what would happen when two of them sat on it. From there.
Did you know why you were supposed to, what you were supposed to be doing there?
Just guarding this water tower.
That was all, just a water tower.
On the railway, of course, you know, you used to do patrols up and down the track. But there was no action or anything there. There was no occurrence at all. You know, night time, you know, you could be on guard or on picket. Of course, you used to get some bright nights and starry nights. But at the same time, it could get very cold. And then during the day, just really for the boiling hot. But we weren't short of water up there, so no water problems.
Had you received your third stripe by now?
Yes, I was assigned in the Royal Sussex Regiment.
And what was your role as a sergeant?
Well, just platoon sergeant, guard commander, and that drilling inspection of the platoons.
Was a high standard of turnout expected of them?
It was always expected, yes. But I suppose, to put it honestly, in there it was a cushy postman, because from this place to Lund, we were sent up to Tehran itself, and there was a camp there which we were put in, which was opposite to a Tehran race course. Horse racing was done there. But there was all this, just the routine inspection drills. And I did actually go down with sandfly fever. And they put me into a hospital there. And it was run by a Persian doctors were there, and some Persian nurses, and there were some British doctors as well. I remember there was a Persian doctor. Oh, one night, I woke up when I could swear there was a fly or something had gone into my ear. Whether it was this sandfly or what, I don't know. But anyway, I said, there's something in the ear. So this Persian doctor came and he filled the bowl with it and they put a needle in the ear and that. And you know, it did take out a lump of wax. So I think that was probably what it was in the ear. I can remember it.
How does sandfly fever affect you?
It's a bit like a malaria fever, and you get these sweat episodes, and also very fatigued. Like you just no strength in you. We just get in hospital and recuperate and that.
Isn't
but
it quite?
You don't get a reoccurrence. I've never had a reoccurrence. Not like malaria.
Isn't it quite dangerous, sandfly fever?
Oh, it can be. Yes, if you don't get the treatment.
What was the treatment?
It was just some sort of medicine they used to give you. I think it was a liquid medicine. I couldn't honestly say what it was. They used to do the regular doses and that, and just rest. I wouldn't put on a special menu or anything like that, I don't remember. But at the same time, I didn't have much appetite, so.
What were you doing in Tehran?
Well, to land there was American troops as well. I suppose, really, apart from being there at that stage of the war years, there was really nothing to do. But I suppose guarding the camp and the likes of that was the sort of the hardest part about it, if you can call it the hardest part. Were previously upon the British troops up there had been to accompany some of the Russian convoys that came down from Russia through Persia and into Iraq and that, just to to guard the roads and the rails in case of any sabotage in there.